If you go through and look at this, it is the most detailed Old Testament description of the birth, the life, the suffering, the death, the resurrection of Christ. I mean, it's complete. It's thorough. You couldn't ask for a better report. So why didn't they believe Isaiah? If you go to a Jew and you ask him today, a rabbi, who is this he, him, all these personal pronouns? He says, that's Israel. And you ask him, what do you mean? And he said, that's us, the nation of Israel. You say, well, you'd have to be blind to believe that. You'd have to be deaf to believe that. That's exactly why they didn't believe Isaiah's report then. And it's exactly why a lot of people today aren't believing it. Why would they not believe the report that God gave by Isaiah? And in them, those scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day, is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Matthew 13, 14, and 15. Is it God's fault that they could not hear or see? No. Is it God's fault that many people this morning assembling in buildings just like this do not see either, and are the scribes and Pharisees of today? No, it's not God's fault. Wasn't then, it isn't now. Verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. The problem the scribes and Pharisees had, and the reason they wouldn't listen to the report, they didn't think there was anything wrong with them, basically. And they thought that they could actually heal themselves, and by their own conduct and their own actions, somehow they could justify themselves before God. Oh, they believed there was a God. And many of them believed he would send a Messiah. But they did not see the Messiah as coming to save them from what they were, of healing them of a sinful condition that they possessed. They really thought they could take care of that themselves. And in these 18 church buildings meeting this morning around this town, there are people sitting in most of those churches that are still trying to do the same things that the scribes and Pharisees did. They believe Jesus was the Messiah. And they believe in God. But they're still trying to heal themselves of a condition that they inherited at birth that only the Messiah can heal them of. And they don't believe Isaiah's report either. This last generation is also not believing the report of God. They don't believe the report that God gave through Isaiah. They're just like the Jews at the end of their time when they finally rejected the Messiah. And Stephen, after Christ's ascension into heaven, he told them what the problem was. He said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. They had deliberately hardened their own hearts. You do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Why did the leaders of Israel close their eyes and cover their ears? Because they could not believe they were spiritually sick. They believed they were made righteous because of their works. They didn't believe Isaiah's report. Isaiah's report contains absolutely nothing except the life, the birth, the life, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of one lone, single, solitary man. It doesn't contain anything else. It doesn't have anything about baptism, the church, the Lord's Supper. It has nothing in it about that. It's just about one man. And in order to be saved, all these scribes and Pharisees had to do was to admit that that man was the only one who could deliver them from their condition. Because they could not believe they were spiritually sick. They believed they were made righteous because of their works. They believed others to be sick sinners before God, but could not accept themselves as needing spiritual healing. They just couldn't accept it. You stop and think about it. There are an awful lot of people sitting in church buildings right here in Dardanelle this morning that are trying to heal themselves. So going back to Matthew 13 and 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Why didn't they believe Isaiah's report? Very simple. Same reason people don't today. Matthew 9, 10 through 13. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came down and sat with him and his disciples. The publicans knew they were sinners. The whole nation, even if they didn't believe it, had convinced them by this time, because they were taking taxes from the people, and they had been branded by sinners and by the nation of Israel and the religious leaders, the scribes and Pharisees, Sadducees and others, to the point they really believed they were sinners. And then there was your normal everyday run-of-the-mill sinner, like prostitutes and others. And Jesus came and sat down. They sat down with him and his disciples, and he didn't run them off. Why? They came to him. Why'd they come to him? Because they knew they were sick. They knew they were sick. And they knew what they were. And they believed Isaiah's report. Oh, they weren't theologians. They weren't magnificent thinkers. But God's Holy Spirit is. And when he convicted them of their sins, they came to the one that God sent, the strong right arm of God, and they knew they were sinners. It's so plain and so simple. See, it's all by grace. They knew they were sick. They knew they needed a Savior. They just didn't quite know how to go about it. But they knew this man did. And they came to him, and he didn't run them off. That made these folks real mad. Matthew 9, 10 through 13, verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, who were these Pharisees? They were people that thought they didn't need healing. They're the ones who didn't believe Isaiah's report. They didn't believe they were sick. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? They didn't think they were sinners. They didn't think they were doing anything wrong like the publicans. Did they believe the Messiah would come? Yes. Did they believe that God was God? Yes. Well, surely they believed Isaiah's report. No, they didn't. Because they weren't looking for a Messiah to save them, to heal them. They were looking for a Messiah to lead them. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, unto the Pharisees, they that be whole. The Pharisees thought they were whole. Look back there in Matthew, underlined in blue. And I should heal them. Now look at verse 12. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole. The Pharisees thought they were whole. They thought they were righteous. They didn't need a physician. But they that be whole need not a physician. They didn't need healing. But they that are sick. He said, these publicans and sinners, they know they're sick. They've come to me because they need me. You don't need me. Because you think that there's no need in your life for a healing, spiritually. You're already acceptable to God. You've already tried to make yourself whole, and you think you are. But go and learn what that meaneth. He said, I'm going to give you a little hint as to what it means. He just given them what they were supposed to learn. And then he gives them a clue as to what he's talking about. He said, go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy. How? As the great physician. As the only one who can heal a soul, who can cleanse it, who can make it right with God, and not sacrifice. The Pharisees saw it. The Pharisees thought they were whole. They offered sacrifice. Oh, they went and offered all the sacrifices they were supposed to. The law had been watered down. They even added some to it. And they'd take a lamb down there, and that lamb, they were doing what God wanted, and they thought that made them whole. They would take mint and other things that had been added by traditions of men. They did more sacrificial offerings than were required by the law of Moses. They didn't mind taking a lamb down there. They didn't mind doing that. That was perfectly all right because it was something that they could do. They were whole. What made them whole? And not sacrifice. Go and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Why did those publicans and sinners come to him? Because they knew they were sick. What were they seeking? Mercy. Why weren't these Pharisees and scribes saved? They weren't looking for mercy. They were looking for a God to give them everything they deserved for what they'd already done. These publicans and sinners, they knew they were sick. And they may not have offered all the sacrifices they should offer. But they were just crying out for mercy. They wanted to know. They were convicted by God's Spirit, and they came to the sacrifice that God intended to offer for their sins. They didn't understand all that. But if God based everything on our understanding, we'd be in serious trouble. "For I am not come to call the righteous," he said. "I didn't come to call you Pharisees, because you already think you're whole and you already think you're righteous." He said, people that realize they're sinners, he said, those are the ones that I came to call. And the word repentance means to turn again, to have a change of mind. He said, those are the ones that I came to call to turn and change their minds. And that's what those scriptures literally mean. Scribes and Pharisees never did understand that. They needed to go and learn that the condition of man could not be changed by any sacrifice which they could offer to God. Their only hope to be healed of what they were was totally dependent upon their faith in God to show mercy to them through the Messiah he had promised. The Pharisees trusted in themselves through their sacrifices to be made acceptable to God, not in his mercy to heal them. I'm going to ask you to remember a couple of things in this sacrifice, in the scriptures. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. The scribes and Pharisees thought their sacrifices would save them. But the publicans and sinners just trusted in the mercy of God. If there are any of you sitting here this morning that aren't trusting in the mercy of God to save you, you don't know my Savior. Because that's the only hope I've got, is the mercy and grace of God. And that's what salvation is. It's trusting in Jesus and him alone, not in anything you have ever done, are doing, or ever could do. But the scribes and Pharisees, their heart had waxed gross. In these last days in which we live, most of the religious world is hellbound because they're trusting in what they can do rather than in what Jesus did, has done, and is doing. So in Luke 5, 31 and 32, with all that background, "And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician." Scribes and Pharisees didn't think they needed any healing of their soul or spirit. "But they that are sick." The publicans and sinners knew they were sick. "I came not to call the righteous." Scribes and Pharisees already thought they were righteous. They were self-righteous. They trusted in their own righteousness. But sinners, the publicans and sinners, they didn't have any choice. They came to God because they knew they were helpless, and they were looking for mercy. And Jesus came to give them mercy. Now, look at Luke 18 and 9. We're going to skip through this parable because I do want to finish in time to do the baptismal service and not keep you here all day. We're going to look at Luke 18. We're going to look at 9, 13, 14, 17, then 25 through 27. You all have heard this preached so many times, you know the whole thing as well as I do, and you can go back and ferret it out for yourself if you'd like to look in your Bibles. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves," they were the scribes and Pharisees, "that they were righteous." They didn't think they were sick. They didn't need healing. They thought they were whole. "And they despised everyone else." I've had so many people in some of these other churches that have said to me, "You really think that just because you're trusting in Jesus to save you that you're going to heaven? You think that he's never going to, you think you can do something, that there's nothing you can do to send you to hell?" I say, yeah. They despise that. They hate that belief. They despise it. And they're always making fun of it. Once saved, always saved. And they lay it on us constantly. They can't stand it. Because they've got to add something to God's plan in order to make it complete. They've got to add something to what Jesus did on their part. And because of what Jesus did and what they're going to do, the Lord will accept them. And they're in the same boat with the scribes and Pharisees. I'm sorry. You may have sons and daughters and husbands and children, but I'm a God-called preacher, and I'm telling you, I don't think those people are saved. But I'll tell you this, and I think the Lord understands. Well, I know he understands. I just hope that I hope I'm not stepping beyond the bounds. I sincerely hope I'm wrong. I hope that God's grace is even greater than I suspect. "And the publican standing afar off." What was the problem with the Pharisee? Do you remember what he said? He said, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not as other men. I give tithes of all I possess. I fast. I do this." And he went on and on with about 1,600 personal pronouns. He did all that. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted themselves. They were righteous and despised others." They didn't need a healing of their spirit. They were already whole. They didn't need a physician. Remember, I ask you to remember the sacrifice thing. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And the publican, verse 13, standing afar off, there's your sinner, sin-sick sinner, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven. That's humility. That's getting right down on the ground. That's not false humility. That's acknowledging to God what you are. A helpless, lost, corrupt, ungodly speck of dust that is nothing without the help of God. That's humility. That's the truth. And it's not something you do and say, well, you know, I'm going to be humble. You recognize what you are. And the publican standing afar off, he stood afar off from God. He was so ashamed of what he was and would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven. He kept them down toward the ground. He was so ashamed of what he was. He knew he needed something from God. And God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And what he needed was a spiritual cleansing, a healing of his soul. But smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful. Remember what the Lord said? I will have mercy. I will have mercy. And not sacrifice. He said, you know, those lambs and things, they're fine. But he said, they're no good unless you're trusting in my mercy, in my power, in my ability to fulfill the promise that I made to you. And that promise is in Messiah. They shut their ears and eyes. They wouldn't hear. They wouldn't see. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And here's how simple it is. He said, I will have mercy. He had mercy to this man. He did not have mercy to the scribes and Pharisees. They didn't want his mercy. They had no desire for his mercy, because they were going to reconcile themselves to God by their own plan. He said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. He had mercy on the man who came seeking mercy. He had no mercy on the Pharisees. For everyone that exalteth himself, and that's what the man did. He trusted in himself that he was righteous, and he did all this stuff, shall be abased. Now I realize this has an application both to the lost and the saved, and I don't argue that. But what is the lowest form of abasement that God can put on a man? Hell. And when a person exalts himself to the point where he believes he can help God to save himself, that person is going to suffer the ultimate abasement. He's going to be in the basement of the earth. He's going to be in hell for a while. Then he's going to be abased into a lake of fire, because without a soul cleansing, without the great physicians healing your soul, without your seeking his mercy, you're a gone gosling. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. When it talks about self-humiliation, it's talking about a true recognizing of what you are. One of the reasons I know I'm saved. I'm an ungodly, wretched sinner in the flesh. But my soul has been cleansed by the blood of Christ, because I came to God seeking mercy. What's that song? In my hand, no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. 51 years ago, I grabbed that cross. Christ grabbed me. I'm still only saved by his mercy. Nothing I have ever done or ever will do could justify me before God. I'm justified because, as a miserable, wretched, ungodly sinner, I came to him seeking mercy with no price in my hand. He gave me my sacrifice. He gave me Jesus. And in my hand, I brought to him the only sacrifice that I could offer, the torn body and flesh and life of Jesus Christ. That's my salvation. He didn't want my sacrifice. He could only accept his son's sacrifice. And that's the justification for what I am. I'm still an ungodly sinner in the flesh. I would to God I was not, but I am. But I'm not that way in my soul or in my spirit. You can tell that. You can tell that he's in me. I know he's there. Because inside, I'm humble. Outside, in the flesh, I'm proud and arrogant. What's the highest exaltation a person can have? To get to go to heaven? that publican got to go to heaven. The teaching in the parable indicates that anyone who has that belief goes to heaven. You can't get a higher exaltation. I'm going to heaven. Why? Because I came to God saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I trusted Christ and no one else. Here it is, 51 years later. And do you know what? I'm still crying inside. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because I sin daily. And God, if I'm faithful and just to confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter in. As is a simile. He tells you how you have to come to Him. I just barely remember when I was about that tall. Just barely remember. But I remember that Mom had to set me up in a high chair and feed me. I remember Mom had to take me to town. I remember Mom had to teach me how to walk. I remember if they hadn't fed me, if they hadn't clothed me, if they hadn't protected me, if they hadn't cared for me, I'd have perished physically. I'd have died. Why? I was helpless. I couldn't take care of myself. I couldn't get food. I didn't work. I was helpless. I was just a helpless little child. But you know what? Right off the bat, I can remember how nice it was to be close to Mom. I shouldn't even talk. I miss Mom now a lot. It's funny, when the funeral, I didn't cry at the hospital, but after you get older, you remember. But I remember how nice it was to be close to Mom. And when I was young, Dad was good to me. And I never once in my mind thought, they're going to put me in a sack and drop me off the White River Bridge. Why? Hey, I could tell they loved me. There wasn't any doubt about it. I knew they were going to feed me. I knew they were going to clothe me. I knew they were going to do. Man, even when you're a child, you know they love you. You sense it. You can tell it. And you trust them. God used a simile here to tell you what kind of faith you have to be saved. The night I was saved, I finally came to the realization that I was just as helpless spiritually toward God as I was toward my parents when I was little. And my only hope was in trusting in God. And the reason that I knew that night He loved me is because for the first time I realized on that cross He loved me and He died for me personally. And when I realized that He had died for me personally, there was no question of His love. And when I knew He was alive, I knew He'd take care of me and He would never leave me. I knew it. And I went to Him and I trusted Him. It was a childlike faith. I didn't have any theology. I couldn't tell you about baptism, the church, the Lord's Supper, anything else. But I knew He loved me. I knew He died for me. I knew He was alive. And I knew I could trust Him. And that night, I entered into the kingdom of God by the power of that man who died to show His love for me and was resurrected from the dead to justify me. And He will never leave me and He will never forsake me. And here some 51 years later, with all these degrees I have, I'm still a small, frightened, helpless child inside that still trusts the same Jesus, the same way He did the night He was saved. It's amazing how once a person is saved, he never seems to forget who his Savior is. He never seems to forget how helpless he is and how great his Savior is. For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Why did Jesus say that? Well, these first New Testament church members were amazed when He told them how hard it was for a rich man to go into the kingdom of God because these scribes and Pharisees had become rich by living off the people rather than feeding them God's word. And they were rich, and riches were a sign that God was blessing you, and surely anyone that was rich was going to heaven because they must be living right because God was giving them all this. So this amazed them. Why is it impossible? Why is it easy for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man in the kingdom of God? Because of the rich man's attitude. When this rich man came to him, what's the first thing he said? He said, Lord, what must I do? What must I do to inherit the kingdom? The Lord told him a bunch of stuff, and then he hit him where it hurt, in his money. It was his attitude that was wrong. It's hard for a rich man to humble himself. It's hard for a rich man just to have confidence in a carpenter from Nazareth as the Son of God who loved us and died for us. You see, he's so good at obtaining riches and knowing how to do them that he has great confidence in himself. Nobody goes to heaven based on confidence in self. People go to heaven based on confidence in Christ. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? This amazed them. Surely a rich man whom God's blessing must be able to do it. Verse 27. And he said, the things which are impossible with man are possible with God. Look back up here. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Look back here. Physician. Jesus Christ is the great physician. He can heal you spiritually, and he alone. But you have a rich man can come to Christ. Doctor, lawyer, merchant, chief, rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief. Anybody can come to Christ. If they'll come helpless, trusting Christ to save them from what they are, a helpless sinner who has no hope, no chance, except by what Jesus did, and to put all their faith in Christ. That's what salvation is. Galatians 3:26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to go any further than the next two verses because I would like for you to leave here on time. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 2 and 5. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. When it comes to baptism, the church, and the Lord's Supper, by the grace of God and through the teaching of men whom God has led, I can teach you about baptism, the church, and all these things. But when you talk to me about salvation, it's Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul said, I made a concerted thought process not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Then why did he do that? Verse 5. 1 Corinthians 2, 2 and 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. That's why the scribes and Pharisees went to hell. That's why the publicans and sinners who knew what they were and repented, that's why they went to heaven. It was because their faith stood in the power of God and not in themselves. We're going to have a one stanza invitation. This morning, if you need a Savior, Jesus is the only one there is. If you come trusting Jesus to save you from what you are, you've got no problem, because that's why he came. You've got to realize what you are first. If you see yourself as a helpless sinner, and you want a genuine Savior who will never leave you nor forsake you, you come trusting Jesus this morning, and God will take care of all the rest. What number?
177.
One stanza.